The Evolve Network is now live at evolvenetwork.tv. Subscribe for meal plans, recipes, cooking shows, and our very own The Magic Pill and The Magic Plant, as well as access to my favourite documentaries. The Evolve Network is also home to our full library of podcasts, with new release podcasts airing first and in full on the channel. You can also watch selected vodcasts in a video format. Meanwhile, enjoy this highlight of our podcast and head over to evolvenetwork.tv for the full Evolve podcast experience. The Evolve with Pete Evans podcast is a conversation about my favourite ingredients for a healthy human experience. We take an informed look at topics that include nutritional and emotional well-being, as well as expanded consciousness. I love exploring the topics that are not traditionally taught at school and take a deep dive into them with my special guests. I invite you to sit back and come along for the ride with an open mind and heart, and please share with your family and friends, as these podcasts may just be the seed from which many things will flourish from. Cheers. We've been using Waters Co. water filters for the last 10 years, and I wholeheartedly trust my family's health with them. Waters Co., established 1977, have personal and domestic water filters, which turns your ordinary tap water into great-tasting, alkaline, ionized mineral water, which removes up to 99.9% of fluoride, heavy metals, chemicals, and bacteria, so you can love your tap water again. The Bio 1000 is the latest edition of the BMP 1000 model and the culmination of over 40 years of experience and research into water filtration by some of the world's leading scientists. Waters Co. was first to market with natural gravity-fed systems, creating alkaline water way back in 1984, and have continued to lead the market in research and development, setting the benchmark for all other brands to follow. Please go to my webpage, peteevans.com, to learn more and to receive your special discount from my link on the products page. You're going to love it. James, thank you so much for joining us. How are you, brother?
I'm fantastic. How are you, Pete? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, really, really good. Beautiful morning, sun's up, cup of tea, ready to go, ready to be enlightened and learn all about you, James. You said this is your second consecutive podcast with an Australian.
Yeah, I'm on a roll. I feel like, yeah, I've been communicating with Australians, I feel like, a lot recently. I don't know, on Instagram, and I think a lot of it has to do with people reaching out to me just to talk about the current lockdown situation that you're happily in at this moment. But it's always great to speak with the lovely Aussies.
Really interesting that you say we're happily in that lockdown moment. Interestingly, a lot of people are, and I mean, I can't speak for everyone, but I'll generalize. For one percentage of the population, is that many people are getting paid to stay at home and actually paid to shut their businesses. So quite a few people that I've spoken to, it's like a paid holiday for them. And Australians generally have a pretty laid-back nature, if we can generalize in that aspect too. And some of the people that I've spoken to that have businesses making more money by being shut than they are from being open, because the government is giving them handouts. Obviously, that doesn't cover the whole spectrum of the population, but it does cover quite a lot of it. So there is this disparity out there. There is this confusion. There's this frustration. But at the same time, there seems to be a big carrot waved in front of a lot of people to keep them placated or placated. If I don't even know how to pronounce that word. Is it placated or placated?
Placated. I think it's placated. That's interesting. I did not know that was happening. That's that didn't exactly happen here in the U.S., but I could see how that would help appease some people and help some people be okay with the lockdowns who might not be okay with it otherwise.
Yeah, it's fascinating watching this, because and that's what I'd like to talk to you about today, is history repeating itself, and how blind do we need to be, or have we become, that for some of us, we're watching this play out going, even if they give you some benefits or some prizes or the carrot short term, can you not see the cyclical nature or the pattern that is repeating through human history, where once you submit or give away some of your freedoms, that it's a slippery slope? It's a very slippery slope. So the reason that I asked you onto this podcast and to connect with you is you bring humor into a very dangerous situation, potentially, that we are living through at the moment. So I wanted to talk to you about the creative process. But first, when you saw this pandemic appear over the last 18 months from the start, how have you changed your thought process about what is happening?
I want to just touch on too what you said about the being okay with kind of what's happening in terms of not recognizing history repeating itself, right? I just want to touch on that for a second, because I think that's kind of partially why we're in a state of constant alert and panic and emergency, because when we're in a state of heightened awareness and alertness and fear, it's harder for us to see those patterns. Because history, looking at history is a luxury when you're in a state of perpetual emergency in the moment. So I think that that's kind of a bit of the programming that we're seeing across the world right now, is keeping people in a state of heightened alert. And I think the more I kind of wake up to that kind of phenomenon, I can kind of see this being the case all the time. I mean, it's heightened now in the state of the global pandemic we're living through. But if you look at the news across the decades, there's always a new threat, a new emergency, a new, you know, something to direct your attention to. And people are never able to kind of sit back and observe the patterns and kind of learn from history when we're always in a state of fear. So I think just in general terms, I think that's one thing that I'm seeing, is how easily people as a collective can be essentially manipulated through the repetition of messages that keeps people kind of locked into a hyper alert, fear-based state of consciousness. And if it's not one threat, it's another. And there's always something, there's always a new threat, a new war, a new group of people to fear, a new disease coming. So we're always kind of living on edge, and we can never quite just kind of relax into that higher state of vibration, essentially, that allows us to kind of thrive as humans. So that's one thing that I've recognized since the start of this. But, you know, I think that another big thing I've recognized is just that there's no going back to quote unquote normal. I think that was the hope at the beginning of this crisis, was that everyone just hunker down and stay home and this will pass. And I think that this is a bigger shift that we're going through as a society. And these shifts happen, I don't know how often, but they happen every so often throughout human history, where there's a period of dramatic change and transition. And I think that's what we're seeing now. So I think it's what I've embraced within this is, how can I let this change me for the better? You know, how can I take this opportunity of change to be like, okay, it's time for me to change. It's time for me to let go of the person I used to be. Like, I think we're seeing right now a lot of things in society that are kind of systematically broken, that this pandemic has revealed how how flimsy the economy is, how flimsy our healthcare system is, right? And these systems are breaking down. And we don't quite know what's coming yet, but these old systems are showing their flimsiness, essentially. So I've kind of taken it upon myself to ask, to look at myself and my old life and say, well, what old systems was I living in myself that are no longer working, that I can leave behind and take this opportunity to really reinvent myself and become somebody new? And I think that that's something we should always be doing, because we're always growing and changing and evolving. But this crisis is giving us an opportunity to change and to grow and evolve as humans and individuals at a much more rapid pace than is comfortable. But it is, despite the discomfort that we all feel at this time, I do think it's an invitation to change.
100%. It was interesting. I woke up quite early, and my wife said to me this morning, first thing, she goes, "Where's this all going to go?" And I said, "I don't know." I said, "Honestly, I don't know." And it's such a humbling answer for me, because I pretty much always thought I knew where what the next step would be. I always knew where the next opportunity was, or I knew that an idea that I conceptualized, or I knew if I could turn it into reality, I knew intuitively and instinctively whether that concept could become manifested into this reality. And I still have that knowing and confidence, but into what world? And I believe I've had to shift my knowingness from a certainty to an uncertainty, and that is part of this process. Like every day, it's like, yeah, I can manifest, but I have to let go of the long-term potentiality of that. I find it challenging but exciting at the same time, and frightening but beautiful. Like all of these emotions every day, it's like this roller coaster of what if, should I, shouldn't I? Yeah, let's do it. Fuck. But what if that happens? And it's been really healthy for me to be in this state again. And that uncertainty I would like to talk to you about is because I feel like that's a place where we need to be comfortable in the uncertainty.
Absolutely. I think you nailed it. I mean, I think that's where we're going. And it reminds me of, there's the famous Ram Dass quote, "Be here now." And it's like, well, we have, as much as we don't want to be here now, we have no choice but to be here now. Because like you said, what is the next 5 years going to look like? Like nobody knows, right? So it's hard to make plans. It's hard to really forecast, you know. We kind of have to be in the moment and not know what the future brings, and kind of put one foot in front of the other, as you know, totally blindly. And that's not a comfortable process, you know. And I've had enough times in my own life where I've faced a lot of uncertainty in my own life, right? Where I didn't know what was going to happen. Like when I would, for example, when I moved to New York City, and a few months after arriving, Hurricane Sandy destroyed my apartment and I was jobless, you know, broke and homeless. And, you know, I literally had no idea what the next day was going to bring. And I've had other scenarios in my own life that were similar to that, where I had no choice but to lean into the uncertainty because literally nothing was certain. I couldn't cling to, well, I have this going for me. I know what's going to happen tomorrow. I just need to keep going. No, I did not know what was going to happen tomorrow. And that sucks, right? That's super uncomfortable, but it forces you to surrender into that uncertainty. And I think that that's a spiritual process. I think people who are completely disconnected from the idea of spirituality, whatever you want to call spirituality, you know, that's a very broad term. But the people who are disconnected from that are having the hardest time, and I think are going to continue having the hardest time, because I do think this is a spiritual process of surrender and growth and acceptance and allowing, and to trust what's going to happen next. If we don't have that element of trust in the middle of uncertainty, we're not going to have anything to hold on to, you know, because things are going to be changing so rapidly. So I really think surrendering to that trust and leaning into the uncertainty and accepting it and embracing it, that's where the magic happens, right? Because human nature, we want to control the outcome, right? The human ego wants to control the outcome and feel like we're in charge of the situation. And we're just very simply not in charge of this situation. You know, you as one person, how much are you going to be able to do to impact the lockdowns in Australia? You know, you can share your opinion, you can show up to a rally or whatever it might be, but it's by and large outside of your control as an individual. And that's scary to the ego to not have control. But again, I've faced that situation enough times in my own life where it's in those times where I have no control and I have no choice but to surrender to the uncertainty. It's in those moments when grace and magic and unexpected things start to happen that show us the way forward. So, to me, it is a spiritual process. I mean, I think that all of life comes down to a spiritual reality that's greater than the material reality. You know, that's an observation that I've made over my, you know, few decades here on Earth. And when you look at life in that way, it opens the door for an element of magic and miracles that don't seem possible to the human ego, but reveal themselves when we let go of that need to control.
Beautiful words, my friend. Reminds me of a heroic dose of cactus, San Pedro, that I consumed years ago. And I remember the last thing the shaman said to me was, if you find yourself in a state of unknowing or complete and utter fear, basically, or he said, just find the will just to move in a direction, whether it's an inch at a time. And I was in the forest. It was just the two of us. And it was a pretty long journey. It was 16 to 17 hours. And it was brutal, the most brutal psychedelic experience I've ever been on. And that mantra, I called upon it, I don't know, hundreds of times, just to be able to move forward into the, I don't want to say into the light, but just actually physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually just moving forward from the hole that I seem to have been in, or the darkness. And many times in that, I felt like I had no power left to be able to get out of that darkness, that horror, that terror. But each and every time, that glimmer of just that strength to just move, and literally it was moving an inch of my body out of a entanglement of vines or the forest that I was in. And that's all it took to for the momentum to start again, just that small belief in oneself that you've got the strength to be able to move, even if it's the smallest amount.
That's such a great metaphor. I think the psychedelic metaphor is another great one for what we're going through. You know, I think that, you know, whether you face like a dark night of the soul, and a psychedelic experience can be a bit of a self-induced dark night of the soul, right? Because you go down a journey that is largely beyond your control and you have to kind of give up that control when you fight to control the experience. I believe I've never had a quote, you know, bad trip exactly. They're all uncomfortable in their own ways, but I've never had that kind of, you know, panic, bad trip that some people report. And I do believe that those quote bad trips happen when your ego refuses to surrender that control and you still want to control. And that's a good metaphor for what's happening in the world right now is the people, if you look on the internet and see people fighting and on, well, no matter what side anyone's on, just the level of just complete fear and panic that's happening around the world right now, that you could probably compare that to the people in the psychedelic journey who are refusing to let go of control, and they're fighting and they're angry and they're pointing their fingers at all the other people and blaming them because they're clinging to their ego is clinging to this false idea of control that was never there to begin with, but now it's just so overtly not there. So and then similar to the psychedelic journey experience, it's always uncomfortable and dark at times, but it's really when you can lean into that experience and let go that and find just that slight way forward that eventually the experience opens up into something really unspeakably beautiful, right? And that is, and it's the same again for a dark night of the soul. When you go through this time in your life, let's say you lost a loved one, you lost a job, something happens to dramatically alter your life, and you go through a patch of fear and uncertainty and a loss of control. That sucks in the moment. I get it. But whenever that's happened to me and people I know, it leads them towards someplace greater that wouldn't have been possible without that journey, right? So we're on a collective, my perception of what's happening is we are on a collective dark night of the soul. You know, there are a lot of monsters and scary visions that can come up in the deep depths of a psychedelic journey. And all similar to all the fears and insecurities that can pop up when you're having a dark night of the soul. And we're seeing those demons manifest in our political figures and our whoever it is that's kind of, whoever we want to point to as the external enemy, right? There's a lot of demons that are revealing themselves right now. And maybe it's literal, maybe it's a metaphor. I don't know. You know, I go back and forth. How literal are our experiences here on Earth versus are they manifestations of our own subconscious mind, right? Because there's an interaction between consciousness and reality. So how much of reality is real, 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 and how much of it is a manifestation of the collective unconscious, right? I think that's a question I certainly can't answer. I don't think anyone can quite answer that, but either way, I think that these are the, you know, we're going through that collective dark night of the soul, and the demons and monsters are revealing themselves, and we just need to keep going, put one foot in front of the other, be examples of holding, you know, a higher state of vibration so we don't collapse completely, and just wait to see what is coming out on the other end.
You mentioned the demons that are making themselves, the dark nights. It's a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's good because it reveals, you know, it's like when you pick up a rock outside and you see all the bugs scurry about, you know, it's, I mean, it's not pretty, right? But if your intention is to clean up, you need to know what you're cleaning up, right? We need to know where the cracks in our society really are, you know, where are the bad guys hiding? And I think we have to see that sometimes and like, it's the same thing that happens when you're healing trauma in your own life, right? I think we're all learning a lot about trauma in recent years, and that's something that's come to our attention, that we're all, you know, born with ancestral trauma. We all experience trauma throughout the course of our life. Just being born into life on Earth is a bit of a traumatic experience, right? So when you heal trauma, you need to face the shadows. That's part of the process, is looking within yourself, whether it's through therapy or otherwise, and seeing the dark parts of yourself that you'd rather not see. Where are your own demons hiding? Where is your own shadow hiding? Until you face that and see it, you can't transmute it and heal it. So that's my hope for society, is that we're seeing the trauma, we're seeing the shadow, we're seeing the demons. And that's a necessary part in healing that trauma that we are all experiencing collectively.
That was so beautifully said. Beautiful explanation. And that brings us to your role in your human experience, and your gifts and your strengths and your perceptions, which has connected the two of us. It was actually my wife said, oh, you should have a look at this guy, James McRae's page on Instagram. And I started going through it, and I think I saw the first three posts that you did that were at the top of your feed. I was like, yep, we need to connect. And people like yourself and JPCs, for instance, who we've interviewed on the platform before, this seems like your time. Without getting the ego attached to your time, but this feels like there's an opportunity here for people like yourself, JP, and others that have done quite a lot of work on themselves, that have faced their own dark nights of the soul, whether it be through psychedelic or other therapy, as you mentioned, where you have an ability to share your perception of the world in a palatable and sometimes not palatable way for people to digest, for them to take in the nutrients of your message, so to speak, to strengthen them. Take us through your journey as an educator and as a shining light for others to draw upon your strengths.
Yeah. Thank you so much for those kind words as well. You know, I don't really know what I'm doing. You know, I've been a creative person my whole life, and I've always experimented with format and technique and message, right? I've been writing poetry for a really long time. I've always been doing visual arts as well. I went to art school for design, worked professionally as a graphic designer for a number of years, worked in the advertising industry. And what I'm doing now is just a really natural evolution of my own work. You know, really what happened is I stumbled across the medium of the internet meme as a platform of creative expression. And the internet meme is an inherently funny medium. It's kind of what it's for, is to make fun at and provoke and to poke. So at some point, I really just started trying to make art, because I used to wake up every morning and like work on like a book, whatever book I was working on, and have my creative time to like work on my books. And at some point over this past year, I said, well, what if I woke up every morning instead of working on some book that no one will see for another year? What if I started working on internet content?
I really hope you enjoyed the first half of this podcast. If you'd like to listen to the rest, please visit evolvenetwork.tv. That's evolvenetwork.tv. We'll see you there.
The information, views, and opinions expressed in this podcast should not be treated as a substitute for nutritional, medical, or other advice by a qualified professional. Guests in this podcast express their own opinions, experiences, and conclusions. Nothing in this podcast should be used to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any medical condition. Neither Pete Evans nor any sponsor endorse any views, opinions, or conclusions expressed or shared in this podcast.